Hello and welcome to A Cast of Entrepreneurs. It's time to meet some fantastic people who are involved with their family businesses, and we're going to find out a little bit more about them. So today I'm welcoming to the cast Alex Devitt, who's the co-founder and chief operating officer of Recovery for Life.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
It's lovely that you could come in and see us. Mm-hmm. And sitting next to Alex, I have Nadia Johnson, who's a director at Ringtons Group, one of the probably the most well-known family businesses in the northeast of England. So thank you for coming in, and it's lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. We're going to start, as ever, by talking about your businesses and just finding out for the listener a little bit about what it is that you do. And I'll come to Alex first, because I'm guessing the listeners may be less aware of what Recovery for Life does. So tell us a little bit about the business and who's involved from the family.
Yeah, no problem. So Recovery for Life is a specialist occupational health company. That's probably a bit of an oversimplification. What we really do, our bread and butter, is we are specialists in the treatment of complex mental health issues, addictions. We help people who've suffered from brain injury, neurodiversity. Essentially, what we do is we help people who've come unstuck get back to work, stay in work, and if in an unfortunate event they have to leave their workplace, that we ensure that they're safe, treated well, and are able to continue with some social functioning. And we do that for many different employers across a range of sectors across the UK.
And so tell me, there's yourself in the business, you're the co-founder, and the other co-founder is your father.
My dad, yes. So that's John Devitt. But we made a very conscious, so you'll hear me refer to him as John throughout the podcast. We made a very conscious decision early on that if we were going to work together, I can't be calling him daddy all the way through, taking him to meetings. So John is how I refer to him.
And when did you set up the business?
2016. So our 8th year trading now. So yeah, time flies.
Congratulations. And coming to you, Nadi, your business is slightly older than 8 years. Are you over 100 years?
Yes, so
now?
We're 116 years now. Started in 1907.
So most people listening would associate Ringtons with tea, which is part of your business. But you tell us a little bit about what it is that Ringtons does today.
So Ringtons is well known for being a tea business, but today we'd like to think of ourselves, or we want other people to think of ourselves, as way more than just tea. We've got different areas of the business. So the one that's most well known is our Ringtons brand and our doorstep delivery service, where we deliver to our customers fortnightly or monthly to their door with a basket of different products. Tea being kind of the centerpiece, but products that complement tea, biscuits, cakes, and we also do seasonal products and gifts. And then we also have the e-commerce side of that business, and we also have our B2B side of our brand business as well, so delivering to garden centers, cafes. And then on the other side, which is probably less well known, is the manufacturing division, which manufactures both the tea for our brand, but also private label tea. And then the smaller arm, which we're excited about and we're growing, is our coffee division, where we do a combination of private label and also produce the coffee for our beverages customers.
So you're quite busy, aren't you? There's a lot going on. So tell me, from a family point of view, who's involved today in the business?
So we have both the fourth generation and the fifth generation. So we're going through a transition process at the moment. So from the fourth generation, you've got my dad, Nigel Smith. You've got my two uncles, Simon Smith and Colin Smith. And then from the fifth generation, you've got my sister, who is chair of the retail side of the business. So Julia, and she's a non-exec chair. And then four of us working in the business. So Brigitte, Elliot and Tom and myself.
That must be quite nice in a way to have other peers that are part of your family working alongside you. You're not there just by yourself running a business, which a lot of entrepreneurs and people perhaps listening are doing by themselves. Both of you have got other people working alongside you. Do you think that helps?
It really helps. I think obviously there's a balance, because at the moment as a board we're very top heavy. And that can have the benefit, because you've got that diversity of thinking to a certain extent and lots of experience in the room, but also that combination of fresh ideas and the fact that the fourth generation have worked for different companies for a large proportion of their life. So it is it's good but also challenging at the same time. I'd like to think that we're quite agile in our decision making. But at the same time, the more people that you have, the more persuasion and the more influence you need to make to kind of be able to make decisions.
Yeah. I think for us, we're in a slightly different position. We're on generation one, technically speaking. So what has been really useful for us as a small business that's growing is engaging with organisations like the Entrepreneurs Forum, the Northeast Chamber of Commerce, NEPIC, NEAA, etc., because we are able to get quite a lot of diversity of views. And it helps us to ensure, because myself and John are very close to what we do and we have quite a specific vision for what we want to achieve, we also want to make sure that actually it makes sense to an outside perspective. So bringing on people onto the board, which we're building at the moment, who had a very, very exciting appointment recently, which I can always talk about later, has been absolutely fantastic to get a bit of a broader spectrum of ideas, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And just going back to the early years, kind of your childhood, I guess, did you always, and I'm looking at Nadia here, did you always think that you would be involved in the family business?
No, I've always been very proud of it, and it's always been a part of me and something that I've enjoyed talking about throughout my life. But for me, I needed to forge my own path and understand where my skill and talent lied. And I'm dyslexic, so grew up not knowing really what I was good at, especially at school. And for me, if I was able to go into the family business, I would have thought it was a cop-out. And, you know, I was determined to find out what my potential was. And so by following my passion, which is people, I became a psychologist, worked for Barclays. And only then did I start thinking about the family business and how my skills could be brought back to the family business. And at that point, there was something missing. I worked for a big corporate and, you know, I really wanted to find meaning in my career. I had three children and the sacrifices that you make to come to work, they needed to feel worth it. And that coincided with the selection process for the next generation of directors for Rington. So it was perfect timing and it all fit together. And so, yes, I made the decision to move back to Newcastle and work for Ringtons and really haven't looked back since.
And in terms of the kind of the thoughts of your, you said it's your dad who is kind of the connection for you. Was it always his intention that you would go off and do your own thing, or was there ever any pressure for you to join the family business?
No, probably the opposite. I think that we were involved to a certain extent. They'd have days where they'd bring in the younger generations to learn about the business, but nothing serious. And I might be making this up, but I think from my dad's perspective, he didn't want me to join the business. I think he was really worried about me moving back and joining. But since I've joined, I think he's changed his mind and he's realised that it was the right thing. And that's really special for me that my dad's seen me in a different light.
Yeah, I wonder why he was worried. Maybe because he thought this is quite a hard job and you protect your children, don't you? So you think, I don't know, what's your thoughts? Why was he concerned?
I think because my dad has held the worries of the business on his shoulders and that's been really heavy for him and still is to a certain extent. And so I think you're right that actually joining the business might all seem nice and lighthearted and, you know, on the surface, but underneath that is something that you can't shake off on weekends or on family holidays, that, you know, you're really taking on a burden, and that's both the good things and the bad things. So I think that's probably the reason. But saying that, I think he's changed his tune on me in the business and realises it is absolutely the right thing to do.
And do you see the business in a different light from when you were a little bit on the periphery of it to now that you're all part of it?
Absolutely. So initially, when I started the succession process, so there was an 18-month assessment process to get the job, I did it more because of the fear of missing out than wanting to do it. I wanted to know if that door should be firmly closed, as I thought it would be, or maybe, you know, something might change my mind, but I needed to know for sure. And through the 18 months, my eyes opened to the potential and the opportunity within the business, and I realised that my skills aligned and I felt like I could make a difference. I wouldn't have joined the business if I felt excited and thought, you know, there's great opportunity, but I am not the person for it. But both of those things aligned. And since joining the business, it's just led down the kind of same thought process that there's untapped opportunities and potential. And I'm just so excited to be a part of it. And it takes a while, but already we're tapping into things that maybe we weren't a couple of years ago. So it's really exciting at the moment.
Yeah, and for anyone, obviously we're not videoing this, but Nadia's face is lit up with excitement talking about the business. So that's really good to hear. And for you, Alex, just obviously the business is a bit younger, but did you always see yourself working with your dad, John?
No, absolutely not. We really fell into it. The story behind it was a few years ago. I mean, we started working together in real terms about 10 years ago, although the company's 8 years old now. At the time, John was chief executive of a company called Counted For, which was a CIC that managed a lot of complex health needs on behalf of the NHS, such as mental health issues, etc., across the country. And I come from a sales and business development background. And what I was doing, I was probably about 21. So when I was a bit younger, I wasn't really very forward thinking. So I was going to different jobs. I would save up a fair amount of money from various sales jobs. I would go and travel around the world a bit. And I absolutely loved doing that. And then come back. And I came back from, I think it was India one time. And my dad took me to one side. And he said, look, we've had a number of queries from some employers who know that they have some of our patients who are their employees in treatment with us. And they've been asking us, is there anything else they can do or advice they can get from Counted For on how to support them in work? And he said to me, look, is there some potential here for a commercial opportunity? And so I had to really think about it because me and my dad had never worked before. I'd never really considered the idea of working with family. I suppose I was a little skeptical. So I was a bit cautious, but I put on some free events. These were these free breakfast masterclasses, and we got some real take up. And we realized actually there was a real appetite on the side of employers who wanted some reassurances and some guidance on how to deal with really genuinely complex issues. And we took it from there. And so 2 years down the line, we set up Recovery for Life. And I'd say probably by a fluke, it turns out we work in a very similar way, which is something I'm very conscious of because we work in a similar way, it's good to get an outside check sometimes. Are our plans making sense? Is this going to make sense going forward? But it's the best thing I've ever done, easily. Wouldn't change anything.
So you basically came together because you saw the commercial need for what you were setting up to do.
Yeah.
There wasn't the 18-month recruitment process, which I'm going to come to Nadia because I think we need to unpick that a little bit. And you've explained a little bit to me separately about what that was involved. But you didn't have that sort of assessment. Your dad wasn't assessing you to say, are you good enough? It was actually about the business and what you could deliver as a team.
It was. I think, to be honest, I've always been rather independent. I think I would have struggled to work for my dad. Working with him and working as a business partner, I could absolutely do, which we found, but it was trial by fire. So it started off with me putting in some cold calls, putting on some events, and it worked. So we just took it from there. No, we didn't have a selection process quite like that. I'm quite interested to hear about that one. Sounds nerve-wracking.
It was.
So let's get into this selection process because you're fifth generation.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people. How many people in that generation? Approximately. You might not be able to count all of them.
There's around 30, but that is literally just picking out a number that's relatively correct. It's not the exact number.
But that's what you get with family businesses. The more generations you have, there's going to be lots and lots of people in those generations. So it's something you'll have to think about at some point, Alex, is as you pass it down the generations, it becomes more complicated.
I've had the pressure. I've had the conversation. When's the next generation? There isn't one yet.
So from Ringston's point of view, the fourth generation had a long time to think about how are we going to do this succession plan? And the outcome was, we're going to see who wants to apply, and when we'll run a process, which ended up lasting 18 months. So tell us a little bit about how that felt for you.
Yeah, Well, so I think there was a number of kind of failed attempts at succession. My dad went away and did a course in Switzerland, I think, on family-owned businesses. And succession is a huge topic that family businesses like to unpick and talk about. So he took it really seriously. And there was a number of experiments and attempts that didn't quite work, luckily for me, because the timing wouldn't have been right. One of the attempts, I was heavily pregnant and just not in the mindset to move back to Newcastle and be part of the business. So the final and hopefully the successful attempt was this 18-month selection process, which started with an interview. And what makes it kind of slightly funny that my sister was interviewing me, because she is responsible for the transition of the generations. She's now the chair of the limited side of the business. So she was interviewing me on my career, and she didn't really understand what I did. So that was kind of useful and strange at the same time. But we work with an external consultant who is amazing. So she found him and they interviewed all of us separately, and then selected six from, I think 10 people went for the interview. And it's my background, talent acquisition. And it is the hardest interview that I've ever witnessed, never mind being the person being interviewed. So that was the first part of it. And so once we were selected, then there was an 18-month process where we needed to work as a team to end in a presentation to the board, basically saying how and why we would buy the business, so what we would pay for it, and then how we'd turn it around in terms of where the growth engines are and how we would drive value in the short, medium and long term. And so we worked together for 18 months, and every quarter we would have a quarterly meeting, and it was during COVID, so it would be virtual, a virtual meeting. And I think three of us had had babies during that 18 months and homeschooling and all of that, so a challenging time. And then we would have one-to-ones with both my sister and Simon, the external consultant, basically unpicking how we behaved in the quarterly meetings, why we said what we did, what we were thinking, how we were getting on as a team, and then giving us feedback, brutal feedback, but also encouraging feedback. So over that 18 months, I guess, for me, it really, really helped me to develop myself, but also look in the mirror and have quite hard conversations with myself around the areas that, you know, are my weaknesses. And then we had the final presentation in this absolutely ginormous room with all of the board spread out. It was kind of like being on The X Factor. And then after that, out of the six, four of us were selected to work for the business, and three of us had to relocate our families.
So during that time, were you still living in London at that time, during that 18-month period?
I was living in London. I'd had my third child kind of 3 months into the process. We'd gone into lockdown the day after I had my third child, and I had a year one, can't remember the age, like six-year-old that I then had to homeschool at the same time. And then I had a middle child. So it was a nightmare. And I had to do these like day-long meetings while breastfeeding my youngest child. And I was crying, begging for the process to be delayed. But I'm thankful that in hindsight it wasn't, and that, you know, I ploughed through and it worked out. And I wasn't the only one that had these kind of challenges out of the six.
Well, it's interesting, succession, because I think maybe they could do that process because it was a family business and it would allow them the time to do that. I'm not sure if you were a commercially run type of business, you would be able to persuade people to give up 18 months of their life to potentially apply for a job.
Yeah, and actually I was in a way lucky because I was on maternity leave, so I didn't have a job apart from being a mum, whereas a couple of the others had their full-time job and then had to do all of this work on the side, which was hard. I think, you know, we have shareholders and we have to protect the business and we have to answer to the shareholders, and therefore you can't just have a random selection of family members joining the business with no kind of real due diligence. And as a shareholder myself, I want the best person to be running the business. And so I think it's necessary to have a drawn-out process, especially when we weren't at director level. We weren't on other boards of businesses, so it was a step up. So therefore, we needed to have that long process to see, do we have the potential to be at that level, knowing that it was a step up.
Do you think they were harder on you because you were family? Do you think the process was harder because of that?
I think it had to be harder because we're at a lower level stepping up, because the rule in our business is that you can't be a family member working in the business unless you're going to become a director, because you could undermine the family directors in the business.
Yeah.
So I think, well, you could think about graduate schemes or other programs that companies have where they're identifying talent and potential for more senior positions, and they're quite drawn out processes.
Yeah.
So it is kind of similar in a way.
Well, that certainly sounds like it makes a lot of sense to me. I think there's always that slight fear, and I've come across this with a lot of people that we've worked with before who are family businesses, and when you speak with maybe some of the younger generations, there's always a bit of a fear that they'll be seen as nepotism. Mm-hmm. And I think operating it in the way that you've just described there actually is a really good way of getting rid of that fear. We had a conversation recently internally about family businesses as well. And there was a really interesting little sort of nugget that came out of that conversation, which is there really is a big difference between organisations and businesses that are family businesses and businesses that profess to be a family. Does that make sense? So where you have organisations that say, OK, we're like a family here, etc., but then try to run it in that way, and actually come unstuck really quite quickly. And actually, there's a number of times we've been brought in to really try and help kind of clear up some of the messes where actually clear boundaries haven't been set because it's not really being run as a business, it's being run as a family. And I think we've tried to be really careful to set very clear boundaries for ourselves on what that's going to look like as a family business. Does that make sense?
Yes, in Nadi, you have a rule book, don't you? And this might be something you want to listen to,
yeah,
Alex,
absolutely.
Because the way that you do it at Ringtons, you've actually got a set of rules that sort of like operating guidance for how the business should be run as a family.
Yes, so we've got our family guide, which is a nicely presented big leather-bound book that has guidance and rules on all different elements of the business, like philanthropy, who we're going to give to and why. We've got an entrepreneurial fund for people or shareholders in the business that maybe want to start up their own business and how that would work, what percentage the Ringtons would take within that, and then succession being one of the pages in that. Like I said, you can't work for the business unless you're going to become a director. That, I mean, it is a bit outdated, but at the moment it says, you know, you need to go to university, you need to get a good degree, it has to be a relevant degree, you have to work for an external business for 4 years and have 3 promotions and all of that, which I think it is harsh and outdated, but does protect the business and the shareholders. I think the family business culture is a really interesting one, and it's very difficult. There are blurred lines, because for me, I definitely want to have a family business culture, but equally, we're not a family. We're a business, and therefore the way that you deal with your relationships in your family are very different from the way that you deal with relationships in a business. People have roles that they need to fulfill, and we absolutely want to develop and train people and have that kind of family feeling culture. But equally, we can't have people working for the business that aren't performing in the roles that they're doing, and that's the difference between a family. You forgive people. They're always part of your family, whereas in your business, you have to have a certain performance-led culture as well as a family-feel culture.
And do you think it's changed the relationship? You've had your sister take you through this brutal process. I mean, you must have been sitting there thinking, come on, you're my sister, just let me into the business. But she's obviously had that role. Do you think your relationship changed during that period?
Yes, I think largely for the better. We all have triggers, and I think family bring out those triggers more than normal people. And for me, having a sister and also other family members in a business working with them, I have been very triggered. And I'd like to say now I'm in a much better place than I was when I joined the business. And obviously, it's not just me that has these triggers, but I think that is one of the big differences working for a family business. You are triggered in a way that is completely on another level from working in a normal business. But it's great to be able to confront the challenge and the triggers and really develop. So my relationship's stronger. I was very triggered. And now I'd like to think that I'm better.
What about for you, Alex? Do you have those triggers with your dad?
Do you know, I have to be really honest, and I'm going to sound boring here. I actually don't. And the reason why I don't is twofold. Myself and John are very similar. We even, one of the worst things I think I ever heard was somebody came up to me and said, oh, I was talking to your brother earlier. So that nearly made me cry, but that's not the point. We actually, by a fluke, and it is a fluke, I think, we found that we work in a very similar way. From the outset, I was quite apprehensive about the idea of working with family. So we sat down, and while we don't have a rule book, I actually think that's really, really interesting. I think I might steal that idea going forward, actually, for whenever the next generations come along. But we sat down initially and we said, okay, if we're going to be equal partners, we have to be equal partners. We have very distinct separate roles within the business. I am non-clinical. John is. So the things that I take care of are very separate. And I wouldn't say there's particular triggers, no. Not in the same way that there may have been if, for example, I was working with a brother or a sister or something like that. So, yeah.
If you're enjoying the conversations on this podcast, then get involved. The Entrepreneurs Forum is a membership organisation for entrepreneurs based in the northeast of England. You can find out all the details by going to our website, entrepreneursforum.net.
And how do you separate out your work and family life?
Yeah. Now, on that particular topic, I'm not very good at that either. I keep a whiteboard in the kitchen all the time in case we're just doodling or drawing things, etc. I'm very poor at separating that out, but I really enjoy what we do. So it doesn't really feel like work so much as actually just life. I don't know how else to describe that. So... But we do set aside certain times to say, okay, we're not going to discuss that now. But we're not very good at sticking to that.
What about Christmas Day? Do you sit there and get distracted after pulling a cracker?
I think it depends how many sherries we're in at that point, to be honest. But no, on bank holidays and all that, we do make time to just do other things.
We're not allowed to talk about work outside of work.
Yeah.
Is that in the rule
well,
book?
The rule, the kind of unspoken rule mainly between my dad and I is that we're not allowed to talk about work in front of my mum or my kids because it's not fair. It's not fair on the children and it's not really fair on my mum. But because my dad and I are so passionate, it can easily lead to a very passionate conversation that lasts for hours. So we just know not to. And I do try and talk about work to my husband, but then I see that kind of glazed look on his eyes and I realise that maybe it's less interesting to him than it is to me. So generally, I don't talk about it. I make lots of notes on my phone. I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
Don't get the opportunity to talk about it to many people outside of work. Unfortunately for me, lucky for them.
Because one of the things we wanted to explore is where you get your influences from outside of the family business. Because when you're working with close family members, it's sometimes important to look up and look out and bring those influences in. And you mentioned before, Alex, that you've been bringing in or set up a board.
Yes.
And you've brought in, I know you brought in James Ramsbotham, who was chair of the chamber. He's bringing value. But how have you gone about attracting James to join your business and others to get that level of mentoring and different perspectives?
I think so. With James in particular, we've known James for a very long time and he's always been a really big supporter, absolutely fantastic guy, and he's been a personal mentor of mine for a couple of years now. He has been absolutely instrumental recently when we look at our strategic direction and how we're moving forward. We haven't built the board. We're currently in the process of building the board at the moment, and it's, if I'm being honest, in terms of how we've done it, predominantly it's in a very similar way to how we've also ended up attracting the client list that we have. And during the time that we've, in the past 8 years, we've done very, very little marketing, and that was quite deliberate because we were a small business. But almost everything we do comes by referral, and we've mainly networked through business organisations such as Northeast Chamber of Commerce, which is where we initially met James, and as I say, various other business memberships, including the Entrepreneurs Forum, and that's really worked out very well for us. So I suppose it's just we've met people on an interpersonal level and it's off, because one thing I can always say, which I'm very proud of, is I've previously worked in a lot of different sales roles and business development, etc. It really feels like what we're doing now actually has some meaning to it, because we're actually helping people. And what's nice is, you know, when you come across the right people who buy into that and actually see that there is a net positive at the end of it, quite often they want to be involved. And that's been really nice. So that's the best answer I think I can give on that one. Otherwise, you'd have to ask James.
And do you read business books or listen to podcasts to get that level of inspiration, I guess, or insights into how to run a business?
A little bit. So I am a Durham University dropout, terrible dropout, and I did study business at university. There are a few things I have followed, you know, throughout my life. One thing I really like, and it's not so much a business book, but it's just a personal thing. I don't know if you've ever read Marcus Aurelius, the Stoics. I always found that very interesting. But there's one I picked up fairly recently, which I would definitely like to recommend, which is there's an author called Neil Bartlett, and he wrote these very quick reads on actually HR and risk management. So there's one book on a malingering, on how to avoid workplace stress-related tribunals. And there are these really broad overviews, which I'd actually recommend to anyone who's a decision maker in business, to give some understanding of HR, some understanding of health and safety, some understanding of risk management. So I would certainly recommend that, yeah.
Well, I'm going to make a note of that, because yeah, it's always like good. A good recommendation, and we'll share that with the wider network as well. And how about you, Nadia? You've got so many people in the family that would have an opinion on what you're doing. So do you go and purposely find people outside of the family that you can use as mentors or to take inspiration from?
Yes, I was really conscious coming back and joining the family business that you have that beauty of having fresh eyes and seeing everything and questioning things, but then you lose it naturally after you've been in the business a certain amount of time. And lucky for me, when I worked for Barclays, I felt like the kind of innovation and insights and training available was vast. And for me, I was worried that that was going to be lost moving back to the regional-based business. And so, first of all, inheriting the entrepreneur membership was amazing for me. And my first experience was at the summer conference. And I've always come to the conferences since then. And then I also am part of a leadership group, which has been brilliant, where we meet monthly. There's usually a speaker from kind of speaking about all sorts of different business related things, and then we help to solve each other's problems. And so that's really helped. And then I have a mentor, and also at a time I had a mentor and a coach. So I like to surround myself with people that have lots of knowledge so I can ask questions, and I have a pile of books on my bedside table which I try and work myself through slowly. So I'm always seeking the kind of external insight and influence as much as I can.
What about other family-owned businesses? Have you got any inspiration? You mentioned earlier that you used a consultant throughout the recruitment process. Have you got any inspiration from other family businesses?
So I do talk to a couple of different family businesses, which is helpful. And I should have mentioned Simon the consultant, because he is probably up there at the top with the support in the kind of external thought process. He's been brilliant as well. I feel like each family business is really different, so you can get more understanding and shared wounds and experience from speaking to people with family businesses. But I guess I haven't yet benefited from real direction that leads to action from other family businesses yet.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, so many family businesses are extremely different. We work with a few, and there's probably about three that really stand out that have had quite a lot of communication with. I'd say Westline, who are a fantastic business we work with. There's Wingrove Motors, who are an old family business, I think going back 96 years, and Prima, Prima Cheese. Again, really great to share sort of experiences and, as you said, share wounds and keep that conversation going. But I think because we're in a quite a unique position, I wouldn't say it leads to, in the same way you said it, direct action as a result of it. But there are some shared experiences there, certainly.
And thinking about the future, we've obviously talking about the generations, but future generations and bringing your children into the, or other family members into the business. Have you thought that far ahead?
Oh yes, Nadia, tell us. Are you going to put your kids through this 18-month process, or would you do things slightly differently?
I think the long process, especially if they're coming from a level that's not quite at a board level, is really important to protect the business and the shareholders. But the generation below me is much bigger again, so that provides a wider pool of talent. I think it's easy to kind of make the assumption that it would be better to bring someone in external because they'll be better qualified and therefore they'll run the business better. But I think there is something magical that comes with being part of a family business and a family, and that grit and determination, the motivation and that real hunger to make the business successful and work. I think it's hard to find if it's not your family business, and that's forgotten about when you look at people's qualifications and where they worked before. And so, are they really the right person to work for the business? And I'd say don't underestimate that as a kind of power for the business. So with that in mind, I would really like some of the sixth generation to take over the business. If it was one of my sons, even better, but only if it was right for the business and right for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you think about succession, often it is people from within that make better successors because they already convince themselves that they agree with the purpose and the mission and exactly what the business is doing. You don't have to teach them that. And if you're recruiting from a different business, they might be great in that, but they don't get your culture. And in a family, they'd have been brought up knowing the culture, knowing their responsibility. So you're already one step ahead.
I think there's no doubt. You can't understate the power that you get with the loyalty that would naturally come with having certain family members join the business as well. I think down the line for the next generation of Recovery for Life, whenever they do exist, I think it would make sense during that process if they did want to be involved, etc. I think it would make sense to have somebody external manage that process alongside with us because there does need to be a bit of impartiality there. So certainly something to discuss maybe in a few years' time.
Obviously, you love working for family businesses. If you could relive one moment, if there was one particular high that you think, oh yes, that was brilliant, what would that be?
There is a couple that really stick out. Obviously, being a small business that's growing, we were massively honoured when we won the Chamber Award for Innovation, when we won NEPIC's award for diversification. And then we had the one I would really want to relive because it came as such as a surprise, was we entered a couple of years ago now, I might be completely getting my time mixed up, the This Can Happen Awards, which is an international award which is done for, basically we're on stage with companies like Virgin, Deutsche Bank, and actually we won Best Mental Health Consultancy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we were put up against Virgin and all these really big players, and we actually still managed to win it. And at the time, we didn't appreciate how big that award ceremony was going to be. So when we got there, we were blown away.
And what did you do to celebrate?
It was a very good celebration, so I'm not sure I can remember that much of it, to be honest. But we had a very big celebration. And of course, the big part for us was we got the whole team together and treated them because it couldn't happen without them.
Well, you have to celebrate the highs because there's a lot of lows and there's a lot of challenges in running a business. And sometimes you've got to remember that when things like that, you've won an international award, you've got to note those occasions and make sure that everybody in the organisation takes note.
I think the important thing for us is that it's not just me and John. And at the end of the day, you know, we work with some really fantastic nurses, some really fantastic doctors and psychotherapists, etc. And we could not do this without them. So it was a real win for the whole team. But again, we were, I don't think I slept that night, let's put it that way. So,
well, congratulations. I think that's awesome that an organisation from the Northeast is standing its ground amongst these massive multinational organisations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I think my proudest moment was when we delivered to the business something which we call the Rington's Way. When we joined as a fifth generation, we were seeking kind of more of the understanding of why we were doing things and what the purpose was behind the business and the vision and, you know, the big questions. And I think naturally, because we're a family business and we've had three brothers working together, they knew, and it was in their heads. They had this communication, but I don't think anyone else fully knew what it was. And so we worked as a fifth generation for just under a year to pull together what we call the Rington's Way and to formulate our vision, our purpose, our values. And then we've got five strategic pillars that are called CUPPA as an acronym, which is perfect. And it's in a really nice booklet. And we launched that to the business to give clarity and to provide that North Star to everyone. And so I think that was felt like a step change for the business internally to open up that kind of dialogue and provide the clarity. So that was one of the big moments. And then a couple of other moments, just personal. I had to deep dive in our technology and understand it as a business. And I'm not from a technology background. And then I had to present the solution to the board. And that was the first project I had to do when I joined the business. And after the presentation just went so well. I was buzzing, and it was a really proud moment for me because I'd always been in kind of talent acquisition, in HR, and kind of pigeonholed. And really it showed both to me and to everyone else that, you know, drop me in to a subject that I know nothing about and I'll unpick it and I'll present it back to you. And I really felt like I was in my sweet spot. That was, yeah.
They say you're in flow.
I was in flow. I just love that, getting my hands dirty, unpicking and then finding the solution.
And did you celebrate?
I did. I think it was maybe around Easter time. So then I literally drove off after my presentation, buzzing, and then opened a bottle of champagne in the sunset at Beadnall and started my Easter holidays. So.
Yes. You're going to have to time every presentation around a major holiday.
Yes,
it needs
and then
to be
just
in
leave
the
building straight away.
And did you have music blaring out the car on the way up?
Yes, I will have, definitely. Really cheesy music.
And you're both super enthusiastic about your family businesses. How do you translate that loyalty down into the people who are working for you? Because they obviously have a different perspective on the business, not being part of the family. How do you get that enthusiasm buzzing throughout the organisation?
So for us, I think it's been there naturally before the fifth generation came in. So we're really, really lucky. And I do think it's striking the balance right between having that culture where we are still a business, but also the culture that recognises that we're a family business. So building on that, so our values represent the culture and that kind of family feel. And then our charitable giving. And we also, so all of our colleagues are 5% shareholders of the business. So in a way, they are owners. So we have a range of kind of charities and different ways that we give back to the people within our business. So I'd hope that that goes a long way. And also looking at our benefits, you know, we have a fantastic pension. We've changed our maternity cover to represent what we feel that we can be proud of. So all of that benefit offering. And then finally, our retirements. We've got the Rington's Foundation that looks after our retirees. So they have, at the moment, we've got two celebrations a year. We've got a summer outing, and then we've got a Christmas celebration. And we have a committee specifically dedicated to our retirees. So again, kind of looking after people both when they're in the business, but then when they leave the business as well, and treating them like family. And then finally, just thinking about it, we have a lot of family within the family business, brothers, mothers and daughters. So we like to think we have mini pockets of families within our family business too.
I love it that you're still thinking of people once they've left, because they're your ambassadors, aren't they, for bringing in a younger generation from the workforce. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's definitely the fourth generation that can be credited with that. But it's really important that we look after people when they're retired. And I think when my dad joined the business, similar to when I joined the business and thought about our maternity policy, you know, it wasn't something he could be proud of. He saw people leave the business and couldn't really afford their retirement. And so for him, that's been one of his passions, to make sure that everyone that has dedicated their working life to us and to help our business be successful, that we then look after them and allow them to enjoy their retirement.
It's kind of a privilege to be in that position where you can do that as a family and a business for all of these people who've helped you along the way.
Absolutely. And it's about doing the right thing and making sure that we talk about it all the time. But, you know, even the way our products look and or taste, and we're on a journey with the way that our products look. But, you know, can we be proud? Are we proud of that? When I joined the business, am I proud our maternity is statutory? No, that's not right. So it's amazing we can change policies and processes to make sure that it's something that we can stand up and really feel proud of as a family.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean, with us being a younger company, we haven't had many people actually retire. It's certainly something that we do consider, and we have been thinking about what we will do for them moving forward on that. But for us, in terms of how we translate the same level of passion to people who work for us, we're in a bit of a lucky position. And what I mean by that is a lot of the, particularly the clinicians who come to us, who've worked in statutory services, who've worked for the NHS, who've worked in a number of different services where they've felt quite constrained and not been able to do for their patients all the things they feel that they need to do. There's already that real passion there and a sense of frustration of not being able to do certain things elsewhere, whereas actually they can with Recovery for Life. So there is a real passion for the work that they do. And that's why I'm saying we're quite lucky, because you actually have to be passionate about working with people and actually helping people turn their lives round, get better, and seeing that all the way through. So everybody who works for us, and we do set very high standards, we don't pretend that we are, it's a really easy job, it certainly isn't. So it has to really be a calling. And I honestly say, I think we've got the most fantastic team now that we've ever had. So we're very privileged in that respect. But of course, we are very family friendly as well, and absolutely endeavour to get to the stage that, such as yourselves at Ringtons, where you've got all the processes down for people who have retired, maternity policy, all that sort of stuff. And that's fantastic.
Thanks.
I'm looking at the time thinking, gosh, this hour is flying past. We're coming towards the end of the podcast, but we want to do some wrap-up questions. And one of the things we're interested in, the listeners will be interested in, if they're owning a business, they'll have a choice. At some point, they can either exit, and one of those exit strategies could be succession and bringing in family businesses. So if someone's listening and they're thinking, should I bring in the next generation? Should I convert my business to a family business? What advice would you give them?
On a personal note, I think there is a huge strength, a huge power in having a family business, provided that you are able to step back and ask some very difficult questions, which is, are you able to respectfully work with that person outside of the capacity of them being your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, etc.? Which is very much what you touched on before with that 18-month selection process. I think you have to be very clear with what the boundaries are. Me and John are really bad at, as we said before, work-life balance separately, but that's the way we like to work, so that's not really a problem. But if we had 7, 8, 9 more family members, it would absolutely be the case of no time to work. You wouldn't talk about work at home, etc., etc. So there are some difficult questions you need to ask yourself on that. And I think just to reiterate a little bit about what we mentioned before, I'd be very, very wary of bringing people in and then saying, well, we are a business, but we're just like a family here. It's reiterating those very clear roles and responsibilities and just checking that you're understanding that the people that you're bringing in are going to be at a certain level. They're going to make certain mistakes. And can you, as a manager who is also related to them, look at them and go and detach yourself from everything else you know about them?
Completely. It's a business, isn't it? And
yeah.
You've got to, if someone's not pulling their weight or not delivering, you have to be prepared to have that conversation. Yeah. Because otherwise it would be detrimental to the business.
Absolutely.
Advice from you, Nadia?
I can see both sides. I think if you've started a business and are thinking about whether it should be or remain a family business or to kind of exit, I think it is really tempting if you've built a fantastic business and you can exit in a way that works for you and you think about the lifestyle potentially it could lead to. I think if you take a step back and really it's not just about you, it's about what you're providing for your children and future generations, because Ringtons has provided prosperity to 5 generations now. And not only that, it's been the lifeblood that has really cemented the family and the broad, wide family together. It's the one thing that we all have in common that we're passionate about. It's been an excuse to have family events. You know, the AGM, we then all have this big family meal afterwards, summer events. And for me, that's just so special to create a legacy for future generations and your family, and to keep your family connected by having a common passion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it probably is. If you can make it work, I think having a strong family business with proper succession planning, etc., I think it's easily probably the most rewarding type of business to be in.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for me, looking at my career and working for Barclays in a big corporate and realising I needed more meaning and what's the next step. I had three children, and Ringtons has provided that next step for me, and it's enabled me to, you know, be a board member, and I hopefully, you know, showing that I'm reaching my potential. And it is hard to get to a certain level in businesses, and to have a family business that is there already and providing that meaning, you know, you give that to future generations. And yes, it's important potentially to find your own career and your own passion, but bringing it back and having that opportunity is unusual. And I feel really lucky to have had that. And I would have been slightly stuck thinking, do I keep climbing the corporate ladder, or do I step off it, or do I find a brand new career, or do I create my own company? Well, actually, thankfully for me, I had a ready-made family business with the meaning that I was looking for.
And you've both got many years ahead of you of being in those family businesses. At the end of that, what do you want your biggest achievement to be? What would be the headline about Nadia's time at Ringtons and Alex's time at Recovery for Life?
I've got two answers. The first one, which is a general answer, which is what we're looking to achieve broadly, which is to absolutely raise the standards of workplace healthcare in the UK. I won't pontificate too much on that. That's the overall very vague mission that we want to achieve. But I have a personal one. It's a very specific one, and I'm not going to give it to you.
Oh, watch this space. Cruel.
Watch this space. I know exactly okay. What we want to achieve, but ask me in a few years.
Okay, we will ask you in a few years. I'm making a note in my diary now.
Season
2027. We'll come back to you. Yeah. Nadia, are you going to pass the buck like Alex just did?
I'm not going to pass the buck. So we have our five-year vision, which I'm not going to talk about because this is talking far beyond that. And I guess it just comes down to continuing the legacy of the business and leaving it better than I found it. And so growing it and enabling it to continue to thrive and be in a really great position to hand over to the next generation. And for me, handing it over to the next generation in a really strong place is all that I can hope for.
And that they still have the retirement policies in place so that you can be looked after. Which would be fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being so open with us this afternoon. And we wish you all the very best with your businesses. You've both got cracking businesses. I know any time a Ringtons parcel has arrived at my door, it's a moment of delight. And I know Recovery for Life. Well, I was going to say, has there been delight with Recovery for Life? But actually, they were, because you helped us a lot during COVID with some of the testing that we had to do to get our own events programmes up and running again. So we wish you all the very best. Thank you for coming in today and for being so honest.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening. There's absolutely loads of episodes of A Cast of Entrepreneurs, so check out who else has been on the podcast. Give us a listen, like, subscribe, leave us a review, and tune in next time for another exciting edition of A Cast of Entrepreneurs.